Dear friends, please turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. And verse 9. Psalm 107 and verse 9. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. And our subject this morning is satisfying the longing soul. And it's a glorious verse in a glorious psalm. And very briefly and very simply, there's not much to say about this psalm except that it is a great exhortation to praise God, a great exhortation, a great song to praise God with. We know that the Psalms, they are a book of songs. The Psalms are to be sung, and in fact, with many of the Psalms, the vast majority of them, we have instructions on how they should be sung. We even have instructions on what instruments should be used and how they should be played. So these psalms, they were songs of praise to God. And this psalm, well, it actually has a chorus, and you may well have noted the chorus, something that is repeated throughout the psalm, a tremendous chorus of praise. And we read this, well, first off in verse 8, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." And then you get the same thing in verse 15. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." And then verse 21. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." It's a chorus. And what does it mean just to spend an introduction looking at that glorious chorus? The psalmist, whoever the psalmist is so overflowing with praise for the Lord that he wants all men everywhere to join him. Oh, that men, all men, would praise the Lord for his goodness. His own praise is not enough. He wants everybody to praise the Lord. Why? Because, the Lord is worthy of our praise. He is a holy God. He is a righteous God. We ought to praise him for his righteousness, for his justice, for his truth, for his wonderful works to the children of men. That is something that is expressly stated there. God is glorious. God in and of himself is worthy to be praised. Oh, that men would praise him. My own voice is not enough. Let all of creation praise the Lord. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. This is the best thing for us, to praise God. Do we think of this? We live in a world that is so dark, that is so gloomy, a world that so often brings us down. That's the world. That's the world we live in the vast majority of the time. But when we come here and we praise God, it lifts us up. It's the opposite of what the world does. The world brings us down with all its bad news, with all its sin and its sorrow. And when we come here, we praise God. We lift up our voices to God. Our souls are lifted up. Our hearts are lifted up. It enlightens the mind. It blesses us. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. It brightens the soul. Why would you not praise God? This is what this chorus is saying. Why would you not? And yet, of course, so many do not praise the Lord. There is a hint of sorrow even in this chorus, a hint of lamentation. The psalmist is wondering, why do men not? Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. Why do they not? Well, there are so many reasons. Unbelief, rebellion against God, apathy. People don't believe in God. People don't believe in his goodness. They don't believe that God is good. They don't believe in his works. They don't believe God created the world. So why should we praise him? And so there's a hint of sorrow in this. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. It's a glorious chorus. You can study it in your own time. A prayer of glorious praise, but it's also tinged with sorrow. And so that's a tremendous verse and chorus for us. But verse 8 is not actually my subject this morning. Verse 9 is what I want to focus on today. For he, that is God, satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Satisfieth the longing soul. That's what God does. And well, we have to ask ourselves, this is the question I put to you this morning. Are you satisfied? Each and every one of us gathered here, are you satisfied? This is the question. Do we not seek after satisfaction? This is what we all do. As natural men and women, we want to be satisfied. We don't want to be dissatisfied with our lives. We want to be satisfied. That is a natural longing of the soul. We read this in this verse. For he satisfieth the longing soul. This is part of our nature by birth. This is part of who we are. We have a soul, and we'll speak about that a bit more later on. We have a soul, but there's a great longing in us, a longing to be satisfied. And our lives, really, they are a journey, a quest, a mission to be satisfied. That's what everyone wants in the world. I want to be satisfied. That's our state by nature. We have a longing soul. We want to be satisfied. But generally speaking, in this world, this atheistic and unbelieving society, so many people seek to be satisfied without God. That's how they seek to be satisfied. We want satisfaction without divine help or assistance. And there are so many ways in which they try to find this satisfaction. I just present some of them to you. How does the world try to find its satisfaction? Well, some try to find their satisfaction through their work, through their profession, through their employment. They give their lives to their jobs to find satisfaction. I must work hard. I must work every hour. I've known people like this. We must work, each and every one of us, not just themselves. They encourage everyone else. This is the purpose of life. This is how you get satisfaction. What else is there? Work, work, work. Workaholics. They're very common in our society. But that doesn't give us satisfaction. That's not sufficient. Man is not simply made to work as though he's a machine and you just plug it in. All that a machine does is work. But we are not machines. We are more than that. Work is good. I'm not saying that it's not good. Work can achieve many things, but work cannot satisfy the longing of your soul. It most certainly cannot. Work, it does not satisfy you, and this is very clear. Some people try and find satisfaction in wealth. If I can get as much money as I possibly can, then I'll be satisfied, surely. But that doesn't work either. You know, you hear of many people, they're never satisfied with how much you earn, with how much they have in the bank. As soon as somebody gets £1,000 in the bank, they want another £1,000. As soon as somebody becomes a millionaire, they want another £1,000,000. People are never satisfied with how much is in the bank. They want to earn more money. You have these sometimes these Premiership footballers and athletes. They earn so much. And yet you read in the newspaper, they want more. It's not enough, the hundreds of thousands of pounds in their bank. We want more. We're not satisfied. Money is not the way to satisfy the longing of the soul. Nobody's ever satisfied with how much they have or how much they earn. Other people, they try to find satisfaction in their relationships. Do you know people like this? Their relationships. I want satisfaction. I want to meet somebody wonderful. I want to have romance in my life. And then I'll be satisfied. That's it. That's the way to satisfaction. Just have a good relationship. Does that satisfy people? Well, it doesn't seem to. People nowadays in this modern society, they can't find satisfaction. They hop from one relationship to another. They go out with one person. I'm not satisfied with him. I'll find another person. Just 2, 3, 4 relationships, even marriages. They get married to one person, then it's over, I'll go and find somebody else. They can't find that satisfaction, not even in their relationships. The things that the world offers, and people try so hard, but they can't find any satisfaction at all. And then, of course, there are the worldly pleasures. Let's try to find satisfaction in worldly pleasure. Eating, drinking, socializing, partying, holidays, music and movies and all that. Does that satisfy you? Does that truly satisfy you? Dear friends, it doesn't. Many of you I know will have heard my testimony or part of my testimony. I didn't read it out at New Year's Eve, but there was one part of my testimony where just before I was saved, I thought I'd embrace the whole world. I'd read this book called The Yes Man. Some of you will know it. And after I'd read it, I said to myself, well, that's the way to be happy. That's the way to be satisfied. Just say yes to absolutely everything. Whenever anybody asks you to go to a party, don't think about it. Just say yes. If anybody asks you to go out and let your hair loose and get drunk and do all those sorts of things, just say yes. Embrace it. The problem with you is you're saying no all the time. Just say yes to everything. And so I did. For about 6, 7 months, yes to everything. To every holiday, every party, every outing. Was I satisfied? No. I wasn't satisfied. It wasn't enough. I just felt empty. And I was very distressed. You know, it was like that rock and roll song. Again, you will know this song. Very famous a long time ago. There's that rock and roll song that says, I can't get no satisfaction. That was like me. I can't get no satisfaction. The Rolling Stones sung it. And I try and I try and I try. Those are the words. I can't get no satisfaction. And I try and I try and I try. There is no satisfaction. That was like me. But that's like the whole world. That's why that song perhaps is so popular. Because it's the song of the whole world. I can't get no satisfaction. No matter how hard I try, I cannot do it. I cannot get it. Dear friends, you cannot get satisfaction from the world. It's only God. For he satisfieth the longing soul. The soul needs God. The soul, every single one of us has a soul. The soul, I remind you, is the real you. Not just your body, it's your mind, it's your character. It's your personality, your soul, and your soul needs God. The soul is eternal. The soul is not like your body, not like your present body anyway. Your present body will get old, your present body will die, but the soul is eternal. And I've mentioned this before as an example. You speak to elderly people, they will tell you that they feel exactly the same as they did when they were a child. Inside, yes, the body is getting old and decaying and falling apart, but the soul has not aged. They feel exactly the same. Why is that? because we have eternal souls, souls that do not age, eternal souls. And so the soul needs something eternal. The soul needs something eternal to satisfy it. It cannot live off the temporary things of this world. The soul is eternal, therefore it needs something eternal to satisfy it. It needs the living God. It needs the eternal God, the God who is from everlasting to everlasting. That's the only thing, the only one who can satisfy the longing soul. Dear friends, you must turn to him. The soul will not take anything else. You can't fob off the soul with something else. You know, one illustration I can give, I hope this is adequate. It's the best one I could think of, sadly. But you know, the soul, in this context, the soul is like a child who has a longing, a great longing for a certain type of food, perhaps an ice cream. A child wants an ice cream. And when a child wants an ice cream, you can't give them anything else. You try and give them an apple, they don't want it. I want an ice cream. You try and give them a biscuit, I don't want it. I want an ice cream. My longing is for an ice cream. I'm only going to be happy with that. Well, in a way, your soul is like that. Your soul is longing for God, and it won't be happy with anything that is not God. It wants the Lord. That's what your soul is longing for. That's the longing. That's the only way it can be satisfied. It wants the Lord, dear friends. It longs for God. It longs for the holiness of God, clean things that bless the soul. This world gives you only sinful things that make your soul defiled, that trouble your soul and your conscience. That's what the world gives. God gives us those clean things. He fills the hungry soul with goodness, things that are good, clean things that bless the soul. The soul needs true life. Only God can give true life, everlasting life, life that lasts forever. That's what the soul needs. The soul is not satisfied with death. Death is a very unsatisfactory conclusion for the soul. But that's where the soul is heading if you don't have God. We die in the body, we know that. But then we face that lost eternity without God. That's the prospect for the soul that doesn't know Christ, that doesn't know God. An eternity lost, forsaken of God, utterly separated from God. An eternity of dissatisfaction. The soul doesn't want that. The soul wants life. The soul wants to be with God forever and all the glory that that will bring. That's what the soul wants. It wants life, not death. And the soul wants God's love, God's approval, if I can put it that way. You know, some people live for the approval of others. Maybe you know people who are like this. Some children live simply to have their parents' approval. Some are employees in workplaces. You see them working so hard just to win the approval of their bosses. If only my boss would think well of me. That's the purpose of their life. I must win this person's approval. Then I'll be satisfied. And so many people try to do that with God. I want to win God's approval. That's the great longing that we have. We want to be right with God. Can we satisfy God? Let's speak of it in this way. Can we satisfy God? Well, not by yourself. You can't satisfy God by yourself. Some people think this. All I need to do to satisfy God is just be a good person. Just try my best. That's all that God wants. Help people out. Give to charity. Don't do anything too bad. God will be satisfied. If I do my best, God will be satisfied. Dear friends, that's very wrong. God is not satisfied with your works. That's not enough to satisfy God, to be right with God. That's nowhere near enough. Only in Christ can you be right with the Lord. Christ, the Son of God. That is why God sent the Lord Jesus Christ down from heaven to earth, so that we can be right with God through him. Christ is the only one whom God is satisfied with. Remember what God said when the Lord Jesus Christ was baptized. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God is satisfied in him. The Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's only the Lord Jesus Christ who has lived a perfectly righteous life. Only he is the one who has never sinned. When God looks upon us, God can see all types of sins in us. God can see everything we've done in public and in private. There is sin in us. But when God looks on the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no sin. No sin at all. Perfectly righteous. And that's why we need the Lord Jesus Christ. When we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, when we have faith in him, we are clothed with his righteousness so that God may be satisfied with us. The perfect righteousness of Christ is placed upon us, and God is satisfied. This is how we satisfy God, not with our works, but with Christ's. But there is also something else that needs to be satisfied. Before we can be right with God, the justice of God needs to be satisfied. The wrath of God needs to be satisfied. God is angry. Why is God angry? People don't understand this. They don't want to believe in an angry God. God's anger is righteous. It's just. It's perfectly fair. Because we have sinned. We have sinned against one another. We have sinned against God. And God is so holy, so just, he's not just going to let our sin go. Oh, don't worry about sin. No, God is holy. God must punish sin. In order for us to be forgiven our sins, God must punish our sins. Our sin must be dealt with. Our sin must be atoned for. And it's only the Lord Jesus Christ who has done that. On the cross of Calvary, that's what he was doing when he died on the cross. He was taking upon himself the punishment for our sins, making full atonement, paying the price for our sin, that price that can satisfy God. We have sinned. God needs, that's wrath of God, needs to be satisfied. It's only Christ who can pay the price. Only his shed blood. You know, in the Old Testament, animals were sacrificed. They were offered up to God, but they could never satisfy the wrath of God. They're not enough. The blood of bulls and rams and goats, they were only symbols. They were only pointers to the Lord Jesus Christ. An animal can never pay the punishment for our sin. There needs to be a man, our representative, our substitute. It must be a man who dies, and it must be the God-man. It must be a pure offering, a sinless offering, somebody who is as pure as God himself. That's the offering, the only offering that God will be satisfied with. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. You must have him. He is the only one who has taken the punishment for our sin. And well, he suffered and died, and he rose again. And that was the great sign. Why was Christ resurrected? Why did he rise again from the grave? Well, it was to show that God is satisfied. He is satisfied with the price that has been paid for our sin. So, dear friends, This is the way of satisfaction. The way that we can satisfy God, it's only through Christ Jesus the Lord. Is that your faith, dear friends, as we draw to conclusion? I have to make this exhortation. Is that your faith? Don't be satisfied with anything less than faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I have to say this because I fear that perhaps some people, or even many people, they are satisfied without faith in Christ. People who come to church, people who sing the hymns, they're satisfied with that. They're not born again. They don't have faith in God. They've never repented of their sin. And yet they're satisfied with their religiosity. They're satisfied with just coming to church. They're satisfied with just joining in, just showing their face. Doesn't matter if I don't have faith. Doesn't matter if I'm not born again. Dear friends, that's so very sad. If that's you, you're in a very dangerous position. If that's you, God is not satisfied with you. God will only be satisfied when he sees your faith in Christ, when he sees that you believe in him, in his righteousness, and in his atoning work for sin. Dear friends, you must know that faith for yourself and know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. But God is the only way to satisfaction, whoever you are. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. May the Lord lead us to that only way whereby our souls may be filled, and bless us eternally.